This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Dave Lochbaum, director of the Nuclear Safety Project at the Union of Concerned Scientists and one of the nation's top independent nuclear power experts. A nuclear engineer by training, Dave worked at nuclear power plants for 17 years, including many similar to the General Electric reactors at the Fukushima plant. He left the industry in the early 1990s after blowing the whistle on unsafe practices and joined the Union of Concerned Scientists in 1996. Dave Lochbaum is here today to tell us about safety in U.S. nuclear plants and to make recommendations for improvement. Welcome, Dave.
Hello, Diane. Thanks for having me on the program.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about the Union of Concerned Scientists?
UCS was formed in May of 1969 by students and faculty at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology who felt that science is something that shouldn't be just upon shelves and in classrooms, but really needs to be out there where it best helps society. And nuclear power safety was one of the first focus areas for the organization, and it remains my primary focus for the organization.
Would you give a brief history of the Union of Concerned Scientists' involvement in nuclear safety?
UCS started working on nuclear power safety issues in the early 70s. At that time, the fleet of American reactors were just initially being launched, and UCS looked at some of the safety studies that were supporting these new reactors at the time and felt that some of the safety studies were not sufficiently backed up by laboratory experiments and tests to show that the computer studies were actually accurate. That led to some involvement, some interventions in some of the licensing proceedings. Some of the safety problems were put on the table and were resolved. But it generally just showed us throughout that process that while most of the time UCS believes that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has established the safety bar at the right height, we feel that too often one or more plants is limboing beneath that safety bar rather than meeting the safety requirements, and we don't find that acceptable. And that's generally when you hear us jumping up and down and whining about something. It's when the established safety regulations simply aren't being followed.
How many nuclear plants do we have in the U.S., and where are they located?
We currently have 103 reactors, nuclear power reactors, operating in the United States in something like 31 states. Reactors can be anywhere from one reactor per plant, and some of our plants have three operating reactors, like Palo Verde in Arizona, and there are some three-unit plants in New York and New Jersey as well.
How old are the plants?
The oldest plant in the country is the Oyster Creek Power Reactor in New Jersey that began operating in 1969. The nuclear power reactors were originally licensed for 40 years. There's provisions in the law that allow those licenses to be extended for an additional 20 years. Currently, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has relicensed about three-quarters of the reactors in the United States, with many more in the queue to receive that extension as well.
How new are the newest reactors? How recent?
The newest, or the baby among the fleet, began operating in 1996. So it's been a while since our reactor went into operation. There are currently three reactors under construction in Georgia and South Carolina that are scheduled to go online in about 2 or 3 years from now if construction schedules are met.
Who has oversight for safety of U.S. nuclear plants?
Well, the primary responsibility are the plant owners. They're licensed by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and there are quite a few requirements and obligations that come with those licenses. Overseeing them are the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, a federal agency charged with, under the law, with overseeing safety. The NRC establishes safety requirements and also enforces those safety requirements. For example, the NRC has full-time inspectors at every operating plant in the United States, at least two inspectors who are there every weekday to oversee the work that's being done at the plant and to write tickets or more harsh sanctions if violations are detected.
What are the key safety concerns at U.S. plants?
The concerns we have right now are that roughly half of the fleet, 50 of the 103 reactors operating in the United States, do not meet fire protection regulations. In 2008, the NRC senior managers testified to their commissioners that fire represents about 50% of the risk of core damage at the average nuclear plant in the United States, which means it's basically equal to all other threats combined. And that hazard is there when the fire protection regulations are met. The risk goes up if fire protection regulations are not being met. These regulations date back to 1980 and were put in place by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission following a near-disastrous fire at the Browns Ferry plant in Alabama. Curiously, 37, 38 years later, the Browns Ferry reactors do not meet and have never met the regulations put in place to guard against the next Browns Ferry fire. Those three reactors and 47 others currently just do not meet those regulations. The hazard exists for the similar reasons that floodwaters caused so much problem at Fukushima 2 years ago. In that case, floodwaters disabled primary safety systems and their backups, leaving the operators no options for cooling the reactor core, and three reactor cores melted down. In the United States and elsewhere, fire could cause similar damage, destroying primary safety systems and their backups. That's what happened at Browns Ferry in 1975. Worker using a candle to check for air leaks started a fire that disabled primary systems and their backups. Only heroic operator actions that day prevented two reactor cores from melting down. We don't need to replicate that disaster or worse.
What are some other ways that fire has started in nuclear plants?
Fires have been started due to hydrogen gas, which is used throughout nuclear power plants to cool certain equipment like the generators. In addition, there are lubricating oil that are used for pumps and other equipment that rotates. There's piping that carries this flammable materials throughout the plant. Sometimes that piping is leaked or failed, released the hydrogen gas or the flammable lubricating oil that then catches on fire. In addition, there are flammable materials, some of the cable insulation for electric cables and other materials used throughout the plant are flammable, and workers that are welding on pipes or grinding on equipment can cause sparks that ignite this flammable material. So fires have been a problem. There are plenty of ways to deal with those problems and manage that risk. We would just like to see those precautions followed rather than just being promises.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Dave Lochbaum, Director of the Nuclear Safety Project at the Union of Concerned Scientists. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Last month, you issued a report titled NRC and Nuclear Power Plant Safety in 2012, Tolerating the Intolerable, in which you analyzed 14 near misses in 2012 and evaluated the NRC response. First, how would you characterize the near misses in the plants? What were the causes?
Well, the causes varied, but most of them last year were caused by electrical problems. The nuclear power plants are designed with at least two separate electrical trains or buses, so that one electrical circuit that fails should leave another electrical circuit intact in order to have the safety systems cool the reactor core and perform other safety functions. Last year, on about four or five events, an electrical fault occurred, either a cable that failed or a breaker that malfunctioned, and the systems that were installed at the plant to isolate that problem and keep the ripple effect from cascading and affecting the other electrical circuit failed to do so, such that both the primary systems and their backups were taken off the table by a single initiating event. That's not the way defense in depth is supposed to happen. The barriers, the redundancy, and all the other things that were there to protect workers and the public failed to do so. Fortunately, none of those cases led to that disastrous outcome. The operators figured out what was going wrong in many cases and took steps to undo the damage before things got worse. But had they not been successful in diagnosing and mitigating, intervening, bad outcomes could have occurred. So we're getting too many steps down the road to disaster than I think anybody's comfortable with.
Your report looked at the response of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to these events. What was most positive about their response?
Well, I think the best outcome is that the NRC did investigate these near misses. For example, there was a near miss at a plant in Illinois last year where a design failure caused a protective feature not to engage when it was assumed that it would engage. The NRC went out and investigated what occurred there. They sent word out to all other plant owners, and it turns out many other plant owners had that same design deficiency, and now the NRC and the industry are figuring out what's the best way to fix this design problem. So rather than make every plant experience that same problem, the problem at one plant in Illinois is leading to safety upgrades across the nation.
In what ways was the NRC response lacking?
Well, I think the biggest area we find is in looking at how best to prevent these problems rather than wait till they happen and then learn the lessons from them. How can we look at yesterday's lessons and avoid tomorrow's lessons? For example, as I mentioned earlier, the NRC has full-time resident inspectors at all the plants that are supplemented by inspectors from their regional and headquarters offices. Collectively, the NRC expends about 4,000 to 5,000 person hours per year to every nuclear power reactor in the United States, looking at fire protection and worker training and other issues. We thought that these near misses should allow the NRC to look at what it routinely inspects to see if any adjustments in what it looks at or how often it looks in those areas need to be adjusted based on these emerging problems so as to better be able to prevent tomorrow's problems. For example, last year there were a lot of problems with electrical systems and protection systems for electrical problems that didn't work exactly right. Does that mean the NRC should refocus more of its efforts next year and in future years on looking at electrical systems? We think these near misses provide those opportunities, but the NRC's process doesn't do that overview of lessons learned from all the near misses.
You did similar evaluations of near misses in 2010 and 2011. What are the trends over time?
It was a little disappointing. First of all, near misses are times when an event or discovery at a plant causes the chance of core damage to increase by a factor of 10 or more, according to the NRC's calculus. So it is a step towards an outcome nobody wants, and the NRC is reacting to it based on the severity. The near misses from year to year are about the same. We've had roughly 14 to 14 and a half, 15 events every year over the past 3 years. We would have hoped that in a mature industry with an aggressive regulator that we would see a decreasing trend in these events. But for reactors that have been operating for nearly 20 years or more, we're seeing roughly more than one near miss per month on average. It's great that none of those led to disaster or meltdowns, but one of the best ways to guard against such bad outcomes is lessen the number of times you even start down that path.
Are nuclear plants in certain parts of the country more likely to be the ones that have these near misses?
No, we've looked at that. We haven't yet found those kind of common denominators. It doesn't seem to be the owner, the type of reactor, or the region of the country that's in it. There are some differences here and there between regions of the country. Currently, NRC Region 4, which is the Midwest and West, has been a little bit more aggressive in pursuing safety issues at plants in their region than the other three NRC regions. But it's not been such a discernible difference that we could try to push all the reactors into the Region 4, but there is this marked difference between Region 4 and the others. In our view, we think Region 4 is doing the right job and being more aggressive. When you talk to the industry, they complain that Region 4 is being overzealous and too aggressive, but I guess that's just a matter of perspective.
Would you say more about the laws that are on the books not being enforced?
We view the regulations that the NRC passes as being a three-way contract between the agency, the plant owners, and the public. The regulations are adopted through a public rulemaking process where a proposed rule is put forth by the agency and the owners can express concern that the proposed rule is too onerous or imparts too much cost without any safety benefit. On the other side of the coin, the public can intervene if they feel that the proposed rule doesn't adequately protect themselves and their property. But at the end of the day, once that public rulemaking process is finished, the final rule that's issued by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to us is a three-way contract. It protects the plant owners from the NRC requiring more stringent and more costly measures than those established by the regulation. And conversely, they should protect the public from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission accepting less than the safety protocols established by the regulation. But what we're finding is that the NRC is allowing many plants to operate despite knowing that they violate these safety regulations and to do so for years. I mentioned earlier that 50 reactors in the United States do not meet fire protection regulations. those fire protection regulations were adopted in 1980. None of those 50 reactors have met those regulations for decades. In addition, there are plants that don't meet current seismic or earthquake protection levels, 27 reactors in the United States. Recently, the NRC identified 34 other reactors that are threatened by dam failures. If an upstream dam were to fail, the ensuing floodwaters would cause those plants the same problems that Fukushima faced 2 years ago, yet those plants continue to operate with those known hazards. We're not necessarily saying those plants need to be shut down until those problems are fixed, but when you know about a threat at a nuclear power plant, we figure that there needs to be a prompt resolution of that problem rather than just hope that the problem doesn't, you know, it doesn't do Americans any good to say nuclear plants are protected against fires and floods unless fires or floods occur. That's not the way it should be.
Why is the enforcement lax? What are the reasons?
To be honest and to be fair to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the biggest impediment to them is the Congress, the United States Congress. Whenever the Nuclear Regulatory Commission flexes its muscles and tries to enforce its regulations, the industry goes to Congress, who sets the NRC's budget and therefore has quite a big say in what the NRC does and how it does it. And the Congress threatens to cut the NRC's budget unless they knock it off. In 1998, on June 4th, 1998, I was sitting across the table from the NRC chairman when they received word that the Senate was threatening to cut their budget by 40%, which would have caused about 500 NRC workers to be laid off. The NRC avoided that budget slashing by agreeing not to enforce its regulations. So the NRC tries to do the job that it's empowered to do, but at the same time, the Congress ties the NRC's hands whenever they threaten to enforce federal safety regulations. And it's sad, but if there was a nuclear plant disaster, the very same Congress would call the NRC in and yell at them for allowing it to happen when it actually they're the ones that are setting the stage for that disaster.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Dave Lockbaum, Director of the Nuclear Safety Project at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Is the Obama administration doing anything to help improve nuclear safety?
The president appoints the five commissioners that oversee or run the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. President Obama has appointed some of the commissioners. They're on rotating terms. Every year, one commissioner seat comes up. And the president has appointed some very safety-conscious people as chairman of the NRC. Greg Yotsko initially, and currently it's Allison McFarland is the chair of the NRC. Both have very deep and steadfast commitments to safety. Unfortunately, the Congress is more of an influence on the NRC than the president, because the Congress sets the NRC's budget every year and has quite a big say in what they do and how they do it, more so than the president does at the moment. And that while the president has great intentions, many in Congress have great intentions, the overall effect is to dilute the effectiveness of the NRC and somewhat distract them off their primary mission of protecting workers and the public.
Are there any key champions of nuclear safety in Congress?
There are many. Congressman Ed Markey from Massachusetts has probably held that role for the longest period of time, but Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Lautenberg from New Jersey, the two senators from California, Senators Boxer and Feinstein, have been doing tremendous work, and not pro or anti-nuke. They're just, what is the issue? Let's resolve it. Let's put some attention on it. So they've done some very good work. Senator Alexander from Tennessee is currently working with Senator Murkowski, Feinstein, Senator Wyden from Oregon to address one of the issues that's plaguing the country, and that's spent fuel storage at plant sites. So there are a number of senators who are highlighting this issue and helping to get things resolved. Fortunately, they don't always have the votes to make it happen as quickly as we'd all like.
What political steps is the Union of Concerned Scientists taking to help promote nuclear safety?
One of the things we're doing is working with the Senate to draft. They're talking about legislation to act upon the Blue Ribbon Commission's report from just over a year ago on dealing with spent fuel storage with the Yucca Mountain impasse the way it is. We're also doing more work at the local level. I'm heading out shortly for a trip to Ohio and Michigan to talk with local officials, state officials, and residents I came back from a trip to South and North Carolina to do the same thing, because the old bit where all politics is local, if we increase the awareness, get enough people involved, we can get a larger choir calling for resolution of some of these issues, and hopefully if the squeaky wheel gets the oil syndrome works, it will help push these solutions faster.
Overall, how much enthusiasm have you found at the state and local level for helping to improve nuclear safety?
There's been quite a bit of effort, particularly after Fukushima, because Fukushima, as disastrous as it was, the silver lining might be an increased awareness that there are some problems, and it's better to deal with those problems rather than just hope they don't occur, because if the luck runs out, the price tag can be catastrophic. So there has been a lot more attention on nuclear safety issues as a result of Fukushima than there was in a few years prior to that. In addition, the Yucca Mountain impasse and some other talk about new reactors has, I think, led to a more constructive dialogue on, if we're going to have a nuclear future, what's the proper foundation for that future? So I think it's, no matter what anybody's perspective is on nuclear power and whether it should or should not be around, that dialogue is being furthered because nobody wants to see a safety accident, or no plant owner wants to see a $1 billion asset become a $1 billion liability overnight.
Would you speak also about work that you have done in regard to shareholder resolutions about nuclear safety?
We've been working the last 2 years with the New York State Comptroller's Office, who is, because they own stock in nuclear power companies through their employees' pension funds, have introduced stockholder resolutions the last 2 years for a number of companies, trying to get them initially to more rapidly implement Fukushima safety upgrades, and this year to more responsibly store spent fuel at their plant sites. What they sought to do and what we advocate was to accelerate the transfer of irradiated fuel storage from pools, where it initially is stored after it comes out of the reactor, into dry cask storage, which is a safer, more secure way of dealing with this threat. So those stakeholder resolutions, while none of them have led to those concessions, have helped increase awareness of the issues and, again, help the dialogue towards a better tomorrow.
What are your overall recommendations to improve nuclear safety for U.S. nuclear plants?
Well, I think the one recommendation we've made over and over again, including to the Commission directly, is that for the most part, the safety regulations that are established by the NRC are at the right level. They properly manage the safety threat without imposing too much cost on the plant owners. But that benefit is only derived when those safety regulations are met. So we would advocate that the NRC consistently enforce safety regulations that are on the books so that Americans are not living at undue risk.
Are there additional recommendations?
I think the additional recommendations are to look at the near misses, look at times when, despite everybody's best intentions, everybody's best focus on safety, a plant experienced an event that was not desired, not expected. You know, what can be learned from that, and how can we better oversee safety to avoid problems in the future? I think the NRC does many good steps in those directions. We would just like to supplement those with a few more to achieve even greater dividends from that investment and resources.
What do you see as the key roadblocks or challenges to increase safety at nuclear plants?
Unfortunately, I think one of the biggest problems is the economic competition. There's currently a plant in Wisconsin, the Kewaunee plant, is scheduled to shut down in May of this year because it just can't produce electricity competitive with natural gas generators in that area. And more plant owners are facing similar economic challenges. At a time when it's necessary to better protect our plants against Fukushima vulnerabilities, plant aging, and other issues, when it's difficult for owners to provide the money for the safety upgrades, it forces management to prioritize what gets fixed this year and what gets put off to next year or later years. Most of the companies in the United States do a very good job of triaging and fixing the important stuff first. Some companies make bad choices and defer safety upgrades that really should be done now. That's when we think the Nuclear Regulatory Commission should step in and make sure everybody does the important stuff first and nobody is deferring safety upgrades for the wrong reasons.
How great a threat is terrorism to nuclear plants?
Well, after 9/11, The Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the industry took several steps to better protect our plants against sabotage, either by insiders or attackers from the outside terrorists. Many of those steps have been fully implemented now, and our plants are better protected than they were prior to 9/11. There are some measures to go. The upgrades were modest. It's a fairly small group of attackers that they can be defended against. In addition, some of the weapons that were thought to be used by the attackers were somewhat modest. For example, rocket-propelled grenades, while available on the black market, aren't assumed to be in the arsenal of those attacking our plants. So we've got some limitations on how we do it. To be fair to the industry and the NRC, the best upgrade since 9/11 was, prior to 9/11, security was tested every 8 years with what are called force-on-force tests. A mock group of intruders tested how well the gates, the guards, and the intrusion detection devices worked to repel an attack. Now those force-on-force exercises are conducted at every plant in the United States at least once every 3 years. So the more frequent testing of the security features should provide against security shortfalls that our enemies might exploit someday.
What resources are available for listeners who would like information about nuclear safety?
Well, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's webpage is very informative. Probably its biggest challenge is it's not user-friendly and it's a little bit daunting to use. But almost all agency records dating back to 1999 are available online, and the NRC has a number of ways for people to find out about the plants in their backyards and what problems they do or do not have. That website is at www.nrc.gov. In addition, to boast our own product, we developed a web tool called the Nuclear Power Information Tracker. That's a map of the United States with all the operating reactors, all the shutdown reactors, and all the proposed new reactors shown, where they are, what types they are. The user can also toggle through a number of safety concerns like fire protection problems and earthquake problems to see which plants have which problems. That's available at our website at www.ucsusa.org.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I think the lesson that I deliver as I go around to communities is that the American form of democracy is best when it's not a spectator sport, to get involved. Whether you support nuclear power, oppose nuclear power, or just a safety advocate like UCS, our system works best when the individuals read up on or become aware of issues and speak their opinions on issues. That better helps decision makers form what needs to be done and when it needs to be done.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Dave. You were just listening to Dave Lochbaum, Director of the Nuclear Safety Project at the Union of Concerned Scientists. For more information, check on the web at ucsusa.org. Again, that's ucsusa.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.